The author has undertaken to examine a wide spectrum of experience, from confession to simplicity to joy. Since the finished product is the outcome of wide reading and careful thinking, it is not the sort of book that can be dashed off quickly or cheaply. The sources of insight are varied, the chief ones being the Holy Scriptures and the recognized classics of devotion, but these are not the only fountains from which the author draws. The careful reader soon recognizes a large indebtedness to secular thinkers as well. In view of the fact that the author is himself a Quaker, it is not surprising that the contributions of the classic Quaker writers are prominent. These include the works of George Fox, John Woolman, Hannah Whittle Smith, Thomas Kelly, and many more. The purpose here is not sectarian, but genuinely ecumenical, since important insights ought never to be limited to the group from which they arise. What we are given, accordingly, is an example of the Catholicity of sharing. The treatment of simplicity is especially valuable, partly because it is not simple. Indeed, the 10 controlling principles concerning simplicity, which are explained in Chapter 6, are themselves sufficient justification for the appearance of another book on the spiritual life. The 10 principles enunciated, while rooted in ancient wisdom, are made astonishingly contemporary. The author understands very well that the emphasis upon simplicity may itself become a snare. This is why he will not settle for anything so obvious as the adoption of a plain garb, though he can say tersely, "Hang the fashions, buy only what you need." Here is a radical proposal which, if widely adopted, would be immensely liberating to people who are the victims of the advertisers, particularly those on television. A genuine cultural revolution would ensue if considerable numbers were to obey the trenchant command, de-accumulate. The greatest problems of our time are not technological, for these we handle fairly well. They are not even political or economic, because the difficulties in these areas, glaring as they may be, are largely derivative. The greatest problems are moral and spiritual, and unless we make some progress in these realms, we may not even survive. This is how advanced cultures have declined in the past. It is for this reason that I welcome a really mature work on the cultivation of the life of the spirit. D. Elton Trueblood. Introduction. It is a wonder to me how God uses squiggles on paper to do his work in the hearts and minds of people. How are these squiggles transformed into letters and words and sentences, and finally meaning? Oh, we may congratulate ourselves on knowing a little about the function of neurotransmitters in the brain, or about how endorphin proteins affect learning and memory retention, but if we are honest, we know that thinking itself is a mystery. Doxology is the only appropriate response. At this writing, it has been 2 decades since this particular set of squiggles, Celebration of Discipline, was first published. After the first decade, the publisher, no doubt puzzled by its longevity and popularity, wanted to celebrate this milestone and asked me to revise the original text, which I was glad to do. And now, after a second decade, the puzzle continues. Somehow, who can ever explain how, people continue to find help in their daily walk with God through the pages of this book. To celebrate this 20th anniversary, the publisher has asked me to write an introduction, and again, I am glad to comply. And perhaps in fulfilling their request, it is appropriate to tell how the book you hold in your hands came into being. Spiritual Bankruptcy. Fresh out of seminary, I was ready to conquer the world. My first appointment was a small church in a thriving region of Southern California. Here, I mused, is my chance to show the denominational leadership, nay, the whole world, what I can do. Believe me, visions of far more than sugar plums were dancing in my head. I was sobered a bit when the former pastor, upon learning of my appointment, put his arm on my shoulder and said, "Well, Foster, it's your turn to be in the desert." But the sobering lasted only a moment. This church will become a shining light set on a hill. The people will literally flood in. This I thought, and this I believed. After 3 months or so, I had given that tiny congregation everything I knew, and then some, and it had done them no good. I had nothing left to give. I was spiritually bankrupt, and I knew it. So much for a shining light on a hill. My problem was more than having